And in the name of Jesus, I bring you down and I cast my children and my family under the blood of Jesus to ensure that you can't have any of them or touch them, and they're protected, safe and secure. And you know, those words, they might just sound like words to some people, but to me that is a reiteration of what God requires of us, to trust Him, to show our trust in Him, to show that we depend on Him. And God doesn't get moved by our emotions or our fears. In fact, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear will take you away from God. But God is motivated by faith, amen? Faith is based on what He said, and we trust Him what He says and believe He's going to do it. Faith is saying God at His word and saying, Lord, I believe in You, and nothing's going to shake that. And I really believe that in this day and age, we need to ensure that our faith in God, and I really appreciate what, Krista, can you get Psalm 91 ready, please, to read and come out here in a minute? I'm putting you on the spot too. You can do it. I don't care who does it, but someone's going to do it, all right? But at the moment, I want to quote what Paul said. You are dead. Now, dead people don't hang around and lay on the ground for too long, because they begin to create an odor which we don't like. That's why being buried with Him in baptism is important. But you are dead, and your life is what? What's the next word? Hidden. Hidden. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden. Now, that's something that we don't really take too much notice of, because everything we have is visible and tangible, what we can hear, see, taste, touch, smell with our natural senses. But what we've got to understand, when God's word says our life is hidden in Him, how much more secure could it be than when God says, hey, I've got your life and I've got it hidden in my heart. That's why God says to us, David said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might sin against you. It's in that place of security, safety, and locked away that it's untouchable, irremovable, and unbreakable. And whenever we think of ourselves in this life and the pressures of life and whatever else is going on, we've got to remember our security is not in this world. It's not in this system. Our life and my life is hidden with Christ in God. He's my preserver, my protector, my rock, my fortress, my foundation, my pillar. He's everything. He's my security. He's my God. He's who I lean on. He's who I trust in. And He's who I shelter in. And He's who I rest in. Wow. And you look at that and you think, man, that is so intense. And that's just the snippet of who God is. Is to each one of us. This is why it's so important, as we read God's word, is to see what God says about Himself and then how we apply what He has made us to be in Him to be fully guarded and secure and solid. In Psalm 25, I'll quickly read this to you. Psalm 27. And you can read Psalm 27, please. But one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And he didn't say, I want to, you know, I'm seeking everything from God. He said, one thing. I've got a priority right here. I've got a number one target. And I believe we need to set ourselves a number one target to seek His face, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His tabernacle, His temple. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. And I don't know if you've got a Strong's Concordance. Get yourself on your laptop or whatever you've got, a Bible called E-Sword. Just E-Sword. And you can go into any verse, and all of the words will come up with a highlighted set of numbers that come from the Strong's Concordance. And you hit that number, and there's the full outworking and explanation of what that word actually meant in either the Hebrew or the Greek. E-sword is just an amazing tool we can have at our disposal when we're looking at the word. And if you're looking at a reading of a scripture, and you go, man, what does that mean? And that word, seek, it's perpetually forever. It doesn't start and stop. I'm seeking that 24/7. He says, I will seek after that, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's an amazing heart cry of David there. To behold the beauty, or whoever wrote the psalm. We say most of them are David, but Moses wrote some of the psalms too. Psalm 90 was a Mosaic psalm. And there is a rumor that 91 may have been as well, but we don't know. But either that's irrelevant. The thing is, the heart of the person writing this is what we need to get hold of. The heart of what God was trying to say through that, because the Bible tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so why they wrote that, you think, oh, some of the psalms were written when David was in his downers, or David was in the out caring for the sheep. Or No. The Holy Spirit's saying, David, I want people to get my heart. Write this. And they're inspired. And even when David's tabernacle was established, which was in between the old one that got taken out and the new Solomon's temple that got built, this tent of David, he appointed singers and musicians to sing the word of God and speak the word of God. And many of those songs that were divinely inspired by the Spirit as they just put themselves before God to worship him were recorded as phrases in the Psalms. And we think, oh, you know, David had an inspiration. No. There were people specifically targeted and given to write, to sing praises to God. Whoa, how would you like a job like that? The king just put me in a job. I'm appointed to be in the temple, and my shift is between 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock every day to sing praises to God. Give me a job, David. I would be there in a flash. I would love that. But our hearts need to be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's one of the things that the Bible talks to us about. Just how many times during a day I find myself with, whoa, where did that come from? And I don't remember how long I've been singing something, or it's been inside of me just going through words. I don't know if you've been, are anyone else like that? Yeah, amen. Or a scripture will come to my mind, and I've spent up to 2 weeks just meditating on one verse sometimes. Wow, God. And God will just, every day I get a new, it's almost like it's a prism, and I'm seeing a new bit of the prism all the time and getting a hold of what God's trying to say in that. But we've got to put ourselves into a position to do that. Our hearts have to be open to him. We have to have that one thing, have a desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after. And it's not a position of, okay, I'm just going to go and lock myself away and obliterate myself from society and go into your closet. I know there's a time when we need to go into our closet and shut our doors. I'm not sort of saying that. But I'm saying that 24/7, regardless of what we have to do with our obligations in life, we still need to have that heart of seeking after. That I may dwell. That dwelling, it doesn't act like a house where you go home and you have your meals and then you go out and you do this. No. That dwelling is wherever you are. I am now dwelling in the house of the Lord. Not because I'm there, but my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Think of it that way. It's a reciprocal dwelling. He dwells in my heart by faith. I dwell in him by faith. Wow. It never changes. I love that. And David wanted to know that beyond anything else. And we've got no excuse, because David didn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit and outpouring of the Spirit that we've got, or the covenant we've got. Can you believe that he had that passion and didn't have what we have to fulfill it? Wow. What a desire. What a desire that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Not Sunday. Every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There was an old chorus we used to sing like that. So once upon a time. Yeah. That I may dwell, perpetually dwell. And then the next verse. Wow. This is a verse of faith. Why? Because I've sought the Lord. I've desired the Lord. I've dwelling in his house all the days of my life. I'm inquiring in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Set me up upon a rock. Whoa. Some people want verse 2 without the verse 1. Don't work. Can't work. You've got to have the verse 1 in place, and verse 2 is automatic. Amen? You keep looking for verse 2. Lord, I'm in trouble. Help me. No. Hang on a minute. Verse 1, you wouldn't have been in trouble. Oh, man, have I had to learn that the hard way. Yeah. Lord, why is this happening to me? Anyone ever done that? Well, we don't want to admit it. We don't want to admit it if we do. But we got to be honest. We have all gone in and had a little grizzle session and a pity party and whatever have you. But man alive, if we could take God at his word. What is God saying? In the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. That pavilion's amazing. It can be a tent or a place of shelter. It can be a refuge. There's a whole heap of different aspects of the way that this word can be interpreted. But he calls it a pavilion. I like that. Because I'm not alone in a pavilion. Did you know that?
That's right.
I'm with God's people. Yeah. The secret of his tabernacle. Wow. I get fascinated with some of the way these things are phrased. In the secret of his tabernacle. Psalm 91 says what?
Different world.
Come on, read it out. Okay. Tell me what you get out of that too.
Okay.
You're on.
You don't want to know that.
Yeah, I do. Come on, you're on.
No, I'm not.
I'm passing the buck here. I'm playing handball. I'm tag team church today. No one was told, by the way, so there's all...
Yeah,
you, get ready, it could be the next, any of you next.
I just want to say something which Ken started with when he talked about this. If we do not know that each scripture in the Bible is literally meant for us to dress up in, we're missing it. We will never make it. Because then we look at other Christians and say, well, how did he or she get through this? How do they hear the voice of God? They've learned the secret which Ken has just gone through. They dwell with him. They put him on. They clothe themselves with the word of God and they speak the word of God.
Come on.
And we have learned that over many, many years. And I can tell you, I walk and he speaks. I hear him all the time. I think Fritz thinks I'm a pain in his behind. Because I will say, I've just heard this. I've just heard that. And then he doesn't hear it. Immediately himself, and he thinks sometimes, and he'll say it afterwards, I thought, oh, that was a little bit high, or this or that. But we all get to the point where God brings into fruition what he said, because I take his word literally. So let's take Psalm 91 literally. We started as a family reading Samuel, and we could see where David was encircled on the mountain with a lot of the enemy. They came, and David was calling out to the Lord. This is how we are. We are literally encircled by the enemy now. We cannot move. If we obey mandates, like in World War II, can I say that?
Yes.
Then we are in trouble.
Yeah.
Because the one thing leads to the other thing. And that is what fear does to us. God wants to teach us to dwell with him because he's our only refuge. Let me tell you, the word teaches only in one place, that there comes a day where they'll stop us buying and selling, which is heading towards us like a massive train. It is coming. But what I want to say about that, we don't need to fear because Ken said it. He's coming.
Amen.
For a pure and a holy bride, set aside, knowing, and he says in Revelation 3:10, I know, I'll take you out of it, but just before he says, I know you're weak. He knows our faith. We're not strong. He knows we have our dips, as Ken said. He knows we have to talk to one another and say, just speak to me. Help me. And this is where God gave us Psalm 91. First, he's always the reader in the house. He reads chapters for me and at night, and then we just dwell on it and in the mornings. So Psalm 91.
Can I just ask you to read that?
You can read
it. It's coming up. Yeah.
Revelation 3:10.
Read it.
It's very powerful.
Powerful.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world.
Mm.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Encouraging. Wow.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Yes. That's our walk. So let's listen to Psalm 91. Ken, he who dwells in the Amplified. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand.
Wow.
I, Krista, will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God in whom I trust with great confidence and on whom I rely. He says we can approach Him confidently, the Father's throne, in another place. He goes on, he says, for He will save you from the trap of the fowler. What's the traps? Just take this. Just do this. Make me happy. Keep me happy. All will be fine. Look, you can do this. You can do that. He's doing it. He is fishing. He's reeling us in. And the body of Christ has a crisis on our hands. If Christ is not the center, we are in trouble. Because then we lean on other solutions, my plans. And he goes on. Sorry. Come on. Ken said I must do it. And from the deadly pestilence, he will cover you completely, protect you with his pinions, and under the wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a wall. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, not of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Oh, I can't kiss and hug you. There's a pestilence. Guess what? I am, as Ken said, covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. He's my insurance. That insurance is surely going to be paid. It has been paid, by the way. It's done. Tetelestai. It's done. And he goes on. He says, where is it? None of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Fear is a pestilence. It comes and it says, oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? And nor of the destruction, sudden death, that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side. Dear David knows about this. And 10,000 at your right hand. But, danger will not come to you if you trust the word of God, if you speak the word of God. You will only be what? A spectator as you look on with your eyes. Isn't that marvelous? If we are in the blood of Jesus, connected to our Father in heaven, He promises and He cannot lie. The word says His word cannot be broken. This is fantastic, guys. Nobody can stand. I am just made righteous by the blood of Jesus. You too. We've got nothing to stand on but Him. Okay. Oh, look on his eyes. And witness the divine. I love this one. Repayment of the wicked. As you watch safely. Wow, Ken. From the shelter of the Most High. Why? We're not really there physically, but in the spirit, I'm as an eagle. Because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No, not some evil people, not a little bit of evil. He says no evil, and my Father cannot lie. My earthly father did lie. We lied. We are broken people. But this Father that bought me with his blood, he can never ever lie. He says no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. And then we say to the kids, put this on, put that on, do this, do that, so you can be safe. God says, you my child, I've got it covered. Okay? And to prick you and to guard you in all your ways of obedience and service. They will lift you up in their hands so that you do not even strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. I love these demons that we can squash if we know them by name. We squash them. We will tread upon them. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because you set your love on me, therefore I will save you. That's what Ken said. Because we seek him. That's that look upon, seek him. I will set you, Ken, securely on high. Because he knows my name. And guess what? He confidently trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never abandon him. No, never. When he sold our house, he said things exactly before, and we witnessed it even before it happened, just as he said. He cannot lie. Wow. He will call upon me. Fritz, you will call upon him, and he will answer you, lovey, because he's got a little burden. He has to leave it here today. He will call upon him. I will be with Fritz with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him, and I will let him see my salvation. And we can put our names in. Thanks, Ken. This is our God. If you sit here and you have a child that's a little bit wayward, try the word, try the medicine.
I think I love that bit, because I will be with him in what?
Yes.
Trouble. You know, the same phraseology or same terms as what was said in the previous Psalm 25 I read out. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me, protect me, guard me, securely keep me. And that's just, you can take that personally, but boy, I tell you what, there's so many other scriptures, Isaiah 4 and others, that talk about how God protects and so forth and etc. But the dwelling came in here, you know, of the same thing. One thing that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in Psalm 27, Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow. It's a place that we have constant capacity to be in God's hands. To be in God's hands. You know that neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. I don't know if you've ever had any form of sickness come into your home or whatever have you, but boy, we can believe God, you know, for that type of healing and protection in every area. It's funny, not all of you heard the story, some of you had, but we had a little chihuahua named Cammy years ago, and she was quite young, 3.5 years old, and she got absolutely so sick, and we used to get some water with some glucose in it and an eyedropper and put it on her tongue, and she'd be just like, and she couldn't, you know. We took her to a vet in Wood End, and the vet said, man, this dog is in a bad way. I'm going to keep her over the weekend and do some blood tests, and he did. And so he kept the dog over the weekend, and he rang us up on Monday. He said, the leukemia white blood cell count in this dog is off the charts. Never seen anything so bad. Probably no hope. Put her down. Well, Lexi got the message and rang me up crying. I was at work, and she just called me. I said, go and get the dog and bring it home. I just don't feel to do that. So the dogs came home. I've come home early that day on the Monday. And I've stood there thinking, Lord, I know how to pray for my kids. I know your word says by your stripes you are healed, you were healed. I need a scripture, Lord God, that tells me I can pray for anything in my home, and including the dog. And I said to Leck, and I were in agreement. I said, Leck, just seek the Lord. We need something to stand on from the word of God. About an hour and a half later, I come rushing in and say, Leck, I've got it. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Well, we went in and we got that dog, and we, in the name of Jesus, took authority over every hair on its back almost, you know, like, and you get well. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. Leukemia, plague, whatever you might be in this dog, you have no right in this home. This home belongs to the children of God. This home is under the shadow of the Almighty. This home is protected by the King of Glory. The Bible says in Psalm 91 that he will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and her assemblies a cloud of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. Upon all the glory will be a defense. You know, but no plague is allowed to exist in this home. And in the name of Jesus, we command it to leave the dog's body. Would you think I was, you know, losing the plot? No, I was standing in faith. It was the next morning. We had the dog there. We had her bowl of water and we got the eyedroppers and we're doing that. The next morning, the dog actually went into the water bowl. The next Saturday, we went on 3 weeks holiday to Perth with the dog in the car, bouncing around, jumping around, out in the Nullarbor when we got out, and you know, the kids had a bit of fun doing things and whatever we did, wherever we stopped, and the dog was lived till 17 and a half years of age. Now, had we listened to the vet and not listened to faith, we wouldn't have had the dog. But that dog was a blessing to us. That dog was an absolute blessing. And she was amazing. She was just such a testimony of God's power and God's goodness. There is an amazing aspect of God's word in every area. I got another one. Quickly, Psalm 31. And I don't know if you read some of these psalms. Got any inspired people out here?
Yep.
Just read out verses 19 to 21 for me. Psalm 31, 19 to 21. Anyone got it?
How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who reverently fear you, which you have prepared for those who take refuge in you before the sons of man. In the secret place of your presence, you hide them from the plots and conspiracies.
Wow. Have you ever read that before? Have you ever looked at that in the light of what God's promises is? How great is his goodness, which you have laid up. If it's laid up, it's no point going into cold storage. Use it. Use it, amen? Use it. And it's not put away for a rainy day. It's there for us to call on in faith. For it's for those who fear or reverence you or honor you as their king. It's so incredible. Which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Wow. God's going to honor us regardless of who's around us. Regardless. You shall hide us where? In the secret place of his presence from the plots of man. And keep us secretly in a pavilion again, in God's own pavilion, from the strife of... How much yabber and talking and nonsense has been spoken around, and negativity and Oh, he said, she said, they said, blah, 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 and we bank our lives on a million. I mean, how many people live their life by Dr. Google now, or by Mr. Google, or whatever? My Lord, what hope have people got when they're not trusting in the King of Glory? And they're trusting in the wisdom and the nutty nutcases of man. It really is wrong. You know, this is what God says. And he wants to preserve us. He wants to protect us. He wants to keep us secret and safe in his pavilion from the strife of the tongues of negativity and everything else. Blessed is the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness. And what did it say there in that last verse there in verse 21?
Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown his marvelous favor and loving kindness to me. When I was assailed in a besieged city.
Wow. You know, the time when David's men even turned against him after they were out doing one thing and the enemy came in and ravaged their camp and took their wives and all their possessions and they wanted to kill David. David strengthened himself in the Lord. See, they were out there going, this David, you know, our wives are gone, our kids are gone, our possessions are gone, the enemy's taken everything and come on, let's get David, let's take him out. He's a terrible leader, he's done this, and if it wasn't for David, we wouldn't have been out there, we'd have been defending. The terror of speaking in those language tongues that they had, gabba yabba 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 yabba, doesn't it drive you up a tree? And we've got to be careful we're not part of that. Zip it. Can't say anything faithful and you can't say anything positive, don't say anything at all. It's the easiest way. Guilty of both counts of everything. Learning not to. Guilty of that, but I'm learning. And I've had to really pull my head in on some things lately and just, okay, Lord, I need to trust you. Can you see the validity of these scriptures for us in our lives in anywhere we live today? Can we? Can we see where we need to trust God? And I think the key word is trust him. Develop our faith in him. Dwelling in the secret place is a place of intimate relationship. It's not a secret to those who fear him, because the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that honor him, fear him, reverence him. You know, it's not something that God's trying to keep away from us. It's just a secret to the world because they can't see it. People outside of God can't see it. But he who dwells in the secret place, in the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me. He will say, oh, wow, what a God we serve. What a God we serve. And I love it when I look at that. If I'm dead, if I'm crucified with Christ, my life is hidden in the secret place with Christ in God. And it's no secret to me. It's no secret to you and I. Because if we fear him and honor him and reverence him, and one thing we have a desire for, to seek after him, to seek the Lord and seek his face, he doesn't hold his secrets from those that fear him. He says, hey, I got something I want to share with you. Hey, I got something that'll inspire you. Guess what? I'm the Lord who is faithful. And this is what he revealed back in the old covenant, even to Moses in the wilderness. Every time, I'm Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. I'm Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Reah, Jehovah Tsidkenu. All of the ways he expressed, I'm a covenant-keeping God who provides, who heals, who is your shepherd, who is your Lord and banner. Wow! And when he has a covenant, he can't break it. He's a God who's faithful and true. We are the ones that need to learn to trust. We are the ones that need to develop in him. Get into that word. is the word of God. Faith. Faith comes by hearing. Well, I read it. Now, you know what I do? I read, speak it. And I've said this before, and if you haven't heard this before, listen to me. How great is your goodness, O Lord? Lord, is your goodness great to me? How great is your goodness? How do I know how great your goodness is, Lord? And I pray, read the scriptures. Lord, how does that apply to me? How is your goodness working? How can it be great in me? Because you said you have laid it up for those who fear you. Do I fear you enough to have that goodness laid up for me? Am I in a position, Lord God, where you can entrust me with that? Lord, can my life be enhanced in any way by your power, your might, your spirit, and my dependence on you to ensure your goodness is laid up for me? You ever read the scriptures like that and put it to him? Because I tell you know what the Holy Spirit's job is? Is to reveal the word to us. And you start to open yourself up and say, Lord, I need to know. What are you saying here? How is it applied to me? Am I restricting this in any way? Is my life hindering what you want to do? God, that's why I'm still learning. And I learn quickly sometimes when I do that, because I feel the rod of correction where it needs to be placed in the areas that need it. And God is so good. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. I've had a bit of scourging in my life, and God has really had to pull me up on some things. But I love it because I can trust him. I can trust him. And my heart and passion in what we've shared today is that we learn far more to put our faith and trust in him and get to know him, because he promises so much for us. And his goodness is laid up for us. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for the way you've just expressed yourself through us and to us. Lord God, I praise you for that. That even how you've expressed your goodness to us in song, and we exalt you. And how great is our God. How great you are, Lord. How great you are. Father, forgive us, I pray, if we've just been a little lethargic or blasé about things at times concerning you. But Lord, Holy Spirit, I release you into every life here and everyone who hears this message over the podcast or whatever. Lord God, we release your Holy Spirit to inspire that one thing have I desired, and that seeking after will take place in the hearts and lives of every man, woman, and child that begins to see this in your word, that we may dwell in the house of Lord. That we may inquire in your temple, and that, Lord God, we will know for sure that you have us in the palm of your hand, in the secret of your tabernacle, guarded and guided by you. Lord, I pray that every one of us here will walk in wisdom, will walk in the light of your word, will walk with the knowledge of the Spirit's guidance, and that, Lord, as we are walking with you, our steps we'll walk in an order that you have placed before us. And I believe for that in the name of Jesus. Guard us, keep us, protect us according to your word. And as we seek after you, Lord God, I pray that trust, that assurance, and that faith will well up to such an incredible intensity, Lord God, that we not only stand for ourselves, we stand for our families, we stand for our neighbors, we stand for our loved ones. Lord God, we take faith and we extend it beyond our own walls. We extend it beyond our own homes and our own families, and we take it into every circle of influence that we are in, Lord God, and that we're able to reach out to many because we stand in faith for their life and their salvation to come to know the Lord God that we know. And I pray, Father, we would have that passion, that sense of urgency, and that intensity burning within us to see this world change for your glory, and that your light and that your power and that your resolve would come to pass in and through your church and in and through your people and in and through in each and every one of us as individuals that you have empowered with your spirit to be your ambassadors in this life. And I ask it in Jesus' glorious and wonderful name. We love you, Lord. Love you so much. Appreciate you, Father. Appreciate you so much. That you're such a loving God. Lord Jesus, that you showed us that love. Holy Spirit, you're teaching us of that love. We praise you so much. And ask for so much more of our lives to be enhanced for your glory. As you lead, guide, and teach us. We ask, Lord God, for your protection, for your direction, and for your correction as necessary in our lives in order for us to walk according to the course that you have for us and that you entrust us with the secrets of the Lord as we learn to fear and trust you more. In Jesus' name. Wow.